Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we enjoy some Thanksgiving leftovers from a big win in Detroit, and we dive into Bears Week. Yes, it has arrived, people. Well, big showdown looming there at Lambeau Field on Sunday. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Jordan Love.
We got the bad. We got
that third down defense.
We got the ugly. We got
Devontae Wyatt's injury. Didn't look good when it happened. Isn't good now, even a couple days later. Ugly stuff, but the Packers did get the big victory there on Thanksgiving. How you doing, Corey? How's Bears Week treating you?
It's going. It's going. It's kind of crazy.
A little crazy, a little nuts.
You know, it was 9 degrees today. Tomorrow's going to be – no, it was 11 degrees today. Tomorrow's going to be 9 degrees. So, yeah. And we had snow, and I woke up at 4:30 in the morning to snow plows going, beep, 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 beep.
Oh,
it's
going to
be – I mean, we just keep getting snow. We've had snow almost every other day. It snowed. So yeah, get ready for it. If you're coming to Green Bay this weekend, I'm looking at my Green Bay weather out here because I have a little Tempest app. Like, right, actually, you can kind of. It's right over there. So let's check out the. Right now, it's 25. Feels like 21. But what's crazy is tomorrow. It is going to be a high of 14 and a low of 7. And the sun.
Call me time.
The Sunday. Here's what's crazy is the Sunday forecast, according to my Tempest, which is a little bit better and as far as microclimate, as far as like what Lambeau will potentially be, and it's gone down a little bit. The high of 17 and a low of 3.
There you go, baby.
Like, we're a little early on this. I'm going to be honest with you,
early
okay?
On the like, the this is a cold.
We're in February weather right now. We're like, it feels like February 1st, and it's December 3rd.
No, I was looking at the kind of waves of, like, you're talking about the snow that's been kind of hitting you guys, and there is snow expected the day after the game. It's like, come on, Mother Nature. You're one day off. I don't want that snow hitting Monday. I need that snow hitting on Sunday.
I mean, there will be. The thing is, like, the highest it's ever going to be before the game is 24. So this snow is staying. So everybody, you know, it's not going to be falling. But although, yeah, it looks like there is. Right now on my app, there's snow possible Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So
there you go, baby.
Anything can happen.
Anything's possible.
I mean, but the difference is palpable. I saw a concert last night, and the poor guys, they were like, how can it get this cold in December anywhere on earth? Like, and I feel for them because they had just come from Chicago, too. Like, they'd been in Milwaukee, and they were like, Milwaukee's balmy. It's only an hour and a half away. I mean, it's classic Green Bay, which I love, but yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, the fact that it's going to be cold, right? It's Packers, Bears, for first place in the division. This is the way it's meant to be, Banky. This is the way God intended football to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cold, Packers, Bears, first place on the line. What more do you want? And they move kickoff back. So, you know, the second half of this game is going to be basically a night game. Like, I love it. I'm all in. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, the nice thing is by moving it back, they definitely – not that the NFL gives a shit about fans, let's be real, but by moving it back, it does help. We will be in the higher portion of a nooner. Sure. We would have been looking at, like, you know, 9 degrees. I think we're going to be more along the 14 degree, which, to be honest with you,
14,
to be honest
baby.
With you,
let's go.
The difference between 9 and 14 is really not a lot. The difference between 9 and 24 is a lot, and the difference between, like, 24 and 34 is a lot.
Oh,
but
yeah.
once you get to like 20, and then when
it's
you
just cold.
and then what's funny is you get 20 and then you get to 15, then you get to 10, And right as you get to 10, like, you are, it's one of those things where, like, your entire body, no matter how many, how clothes you have on at 10, you're just like, you're cold immediately. You walk outside and you're like, you could have like a snowsuit on, you could have heat warm, and you're just, your body's like, we got to get out of this. We got to get out of this. This is not good.
Not where we want to be. Not where we want to live.
That's for everybody. That includes people that live here all the time, by the way. Like, I feel for them.
No, we were laughing
at the concert because they literally said it 20 times during the concert. You know, someone is like still feeling that cold from just getting out of their car.
They're talking about it hours later.
Yeah, they're talking about it like, literally, like, 6 hours later, they've been in the heat, and they're just talking about the cold. This is like, and for people that go there, I mean, when people that go to the game, you do not forget games like this. So these are, and they're rarefied too. This is the thing, like, a below 15 degree game or anywhere near 15 degrees is not something that happens at Lambeau every year, even. You know what I mean?
Like,
very true. Not necessarily an everyday or every season occurrence necessarily.
Yep, no, there's certainly been those kind of very memorable games. Some of them great memories, some of them not so great, as you yourself can attest in the NFC Championship game all those years ago. But, man, I love it. It's the way it was meant to be. Absolutely the way it was meant to be. I'm so excited. This is what I talk about. A couple weeks ago when I said this is the best time of the year, this is the best time of the year. You get to Thanksgiving. Now, it helps. We beat up on the Lions, of course. But, man, you turn the page from Thanksgiving to this December slate. Oh, I'm so excited. So excited. This is it. Before we get going any further, got to give a shout out to our friends over there at Nicolet Law. This episode of Packer Transplants is sponsored by Nicolet Law. You never plan on needing a lawyer, but if you're ever in a car crash, suffer a slip and fall, or are injured in another kind of accident, you want someone in your corner who gets it. Nicolet Law helps people across the Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Iowa, and they fight hard for regular folks, not big corporations, not insurance companies, just you. Calling a lawyer can feel intimidating, but Nicolet Law makes it simple. Their team takes on the stress, deals with the insurance companies, and fights for the compensation you deserve so you can focus on getting your life back. Injured? Don't wait. Call 1-855-NICOLET or visit NicoletLaw.com to get started. And you know how we start this year program, Corey? How do we usually try to start these things? What do we do?
The hotness.
That's right. Let's get to it. Man, when you have a big, nationally televised butt-whooping of your division rival, there's always a few things you could pick out in the sense of something that was hot. And certainly Micah Parsons putting the quarterback on the ground, big bomb to Christian Watson. There's a lot of stuff to wade through here, but to me it had to be the Dontavian Wicks fourth down reception over Brian Branch, losing his shoe, that gets the hotness this week. Let's take a look at this picture. I mean, skying. High point in the ball. And look, you can see the shoe coming off in the picture. Absolutely love it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the hotness. Big win on the road. And you know what? Doing it over Brian Branch just makes it all the sweeter. Absolutely love it. All right, let's get to some Packers news, shall we?
I'd love to see Dontavian Wicks get his pass catch percentage up, though. I'm just going to be honest with you about that.
You're all concerned about the pass catch
percentage, and I understand it. He's currently tied with my least favorite wide receiver on the Packers in pass catch percentage. Currently,
You know how he does that? You know how he gets
balls.
Increases his. Well, he does have more games like he had on Thursday against the Lions.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm looking
Put
forward.
A few
to
more
that.
Of those together. There you go. I like.
Although
it.
The more I've been thinking and looking, I've been immersing. I don't know if you know this, but I have lately been immersing my like. This whole Dusty Evely Packers data suite has been blowing my mind all season. I know people are going to make fun of me, and I don't care because there's people out there, they don't get all into the data, and I loved all the basic data. I'd always love to see, like, oh, where are the Packers? Like, where are we in defense? And we'd always be, like, 20th or 24th. And I'd find the little gem, like, oh, kind of like the Bears right now. Like, oh, we're shitty on defense, but we got great turnovers, and we're gonna get a lot of turnovers, and then we're the best in turnovers, and that's what I'm going to hang my hat on. But I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm turning into a data nerd. I'm telling you, I'm like, I'm I'm like,
we're gonna have
shit
you
like
spouting analytics on. We're gonna have a. We're gonna have to have a Corey Banky analytics segment pretty soon.
Like I learned, I actually got to teach you what a concept was. Not that you didn't know, but like, because there's so
many
words.
I thought
you
were talking about the dig, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
No, I don't mean teach you like you didn't know, but like, yeah, it's like, so I'm looking down on like all these concepts, and then I saw this play that we run like a lot of times, and it gets us our highest, like, it gets us our highest average gain of 11.4. We've run it like 16 times. It's called Portland.
The lights just came on.
Nice. I've got this light right because as it comes down, it should be right this time. I've kind of figured out this darkness here. We're outside of the darkest period.
You were on a roll. Sorry, I took you off course.
You're talking about Portland. So I'm like, what the hell is Portland? So then I go to YouTube, you know, where we all go to see our thing, and I don't even know who it was, somebody's explaining this concept, and they showed an actual Jordan Love Portland play, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And now I feel like, you know, I understand one of 55 concepts we've run this season. So there you go. I'm getting there.
By the time I figure it out,
it'll be next season, and they'll call everything something different. So
no, they won't. But that's the best part. And what I love about it, Corey, I will say this: I love the fact that Dusty has brought you to a side of football that you probably, you know, you haven't inherently kind of dove into, right? Like, it's not the numbers and the analytics of, like, you know, how much yardage they're gaining per play when they run a certain concept or personnel usage. Like, you've really gone into that. And of course, we all know of your obsession with time of possession, although that's not really a deep metric.
I mean, Topper's like, you know, when you get a filet and you're like, you know what? Do I want caramelized onions or do I want blue cheese or do I want crab or do I want shrimp? Like, what do I want on my topper? You know what I mean? And so it's just, especially against the Vikings, like, we just fucking own just Topper.
Destroyed.
Just like, destroyed. Yeah.
But this is my point. Because you're looking at this,
I've always loved
that. That led you to finding out what a Portland concept was, and that had you looking at film. Like, it all works together. That's what I love. You know, the looking at the data drove you to find out more about a concept, which drove you to the film. That's all. That's what it should be. That's literally what it should be. That you've done it organically. Like, that's how you should learn about football. 1,000,000,000%. I love it. I'm all in. Also, real quickly, because you mentioned, like, you went off on your food tangent, because that's what you always do. So I went to see Zootopia 2 this past weekend.
Oh dear.
With two of my daughters.
Isn't
Can
that
I
like
tell
the highest
you,
grossing film animated film of all time or something?
I don't know. I'm sure it made a lot of money. But let me tell you this, Corey. There is a part in the film where I don't want to give anything away, because maybe people have kids and they're gonna go see it. But Moose Boosh makes an appearance in this film.
Nice.
And
you knew what it was.
I literally was Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie, going, sitting up, going, whoa, hey, whoa, Moose Boosh. I was so excited.
You knew it wasn't it was actually a thing.
In this movie, it's a name of something. It's a name of a company, Moose Boosh. And I legit sat up in my seat because I was so excited.
I love how you're worried about giving away the plot of Zootopia.
Well, you know, I don't want to ruin someone's time with their kids if they're going to go see the movie. You know,
gotcha.
I'm trying to be good about this stuff. You know, now if it had come out last year, I wouldn't have a problem. But you know, the movie just came out. I don't want to ruin somebody's time. Anyway, we digress per usual. Let's get to some Packers news. And by news, I mean eat our vegetables, which I mean talk about some unfortunate stuff, including Devontae Wyatt did indeed suffer a season-ending injury. Certainly holding out hope, even though we saw the cart and we knew it was bad. Matt LaFleur indicated after the game it was bad, and then today he confirmed it is season-ending. So Devontae Wyatt done for the season, which absolutely sucks. Young man was certainly playing well. Hate to see it. Hopefully he comes back and starts killing it again next year, but for now he is done for the season. Other injury concerns for the Packers today at practice: Savion Williams and Lucas Van Ness are the other two gentlemen, along with Wyatt, who did not practice today. Both of them, by the way, are dealing with walking boots, so that's fun. Really hate it for Lucas Van Ness, who obviously did try to come back in that Vikings game. I believe played six whole snaps before exiting.
Did Quay play last Thursday? I didn't see because he was questionable. He and he's still questionable this week, but he's been practicing. Limited
but he practiced
right?
today. He practiced today. Yes. He was so limited cool. coming back from that stinger. Hopefully he is back out there. Yes. In somewhat more interesting Packers news, the Packers have signed defensive lineman Jordan Riley off the Giants practice squad. He is a monster of a man, a defensive tackle who will give you some real leverage in the running game. It doesn't offer much as far as rushing the passer, but he's a big body. He's been in the league. This is his third year. He's actually started 5 games for the Giants and played in 21 over the first 2 years of his time in the league. So some guy with some experience, again, not a pass rusher in any way, shape, or form, but he could certainly help them as far as early downs, clogging up the middle, keeping those linebackers clean. Interesting signing there. And it's funny, Corey, whenever there's a big injury like this and people are looking at the position, and you always get questions about, oh, this name or that name, or could they sign this dude? And it's like, what do we always say? Just, you know what they're going to do. This is how the Packers work, man. This is how they got, you know, so many signings over the years as far as guys that we're probably not on our radar, guys we're not talking about. They're not top of mind for most people, but they're going to find someone who fits what they need, probably on a practice squad or maybe off waiver somewhere that you're probably not like having on your top 5 list of dudes that you could come help in that you're going to find on the internet. It's just not how they work.
No.
You know, I mean, their track record is pretty damn good in this regard. So excited to see Riley get out there and help this defense. Speaking of help, other help that could be on the way, the Packers have opened up the 21-day practice window for 3 different players, including Marshawn Lloyd, Brenton Cox Jr., and Colin Oliver, the rookie pass rusher, who has been on PUP essentially all season long. All 3 of those guys, though, started practicing on Monday. They are able to play after 21 days if they get activated to the roster. We shall see. At this point, you know, who knows what any of these guys can bring, especially Oliver, who has literally, this will be his first NFL action ever at all, stepping on a practice field. No offseason work, no training camp. Going to be interesting to see if he actually gets on the roster. But those 21 days will be curious, to say the least, for all 3 of those guys. And then, Corey, I know you're very excited. Some practice squad news. Shamar Bartholomew, cornerback, has been signed to the practice squad, along with Will Shepard, who they announced that right before we went live, so we don't have it here, but Shepard was brought up, signed to the 53-man roster for the Thanksgiving game, but then cut after the Thanksgiving game, and is now back on the practice squad. Shamar Bartholomew definitely leads the league in best name. I like it. I'm all in on that.
Sure.
And then Corey, I know you look at Thanksgiving, the Packers, Detroit, the rivalry, certainly we got a nice bump audience-wise here on our YouTube channel for our watch party. Green Bay-Detroit is now the most watched early Thanksgiving game ever. And for about a few hours, it was the most watched regular season game ever until the Chiefs-Cowboys game got done. And then that became the most watched regular season
Chicago,
game.
Chicago, this game coming up Sunday could – I mean, it's an afternoon game.
It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one.
It's going to be big. I don't know if it's going to – it's probably going to be in the conversation of the top 5, I would assume.
It's going to be big. It's going to be big. I mean, almost 48 million people watch that Packers-Lions game. That's
– I mean, I said this at happy hour, and I'm sticking to it, okay? I think – wow, look at that sky. I think – now I'm distracting myself. I think that this game on Sunday – could be the most important regular season game of the decade.
Hot damn.
I mean.
So then does that make the rematch even more important? Or does that depend on who wins?
If we win, it's less important.
Okay, got it. Okay, because, that's kind of what I figured.
Right? Because if we win, we beat them all, right? It's like.
Yep.
Yeah. We beat you all once. If we lose.
If you slip up in Chicago, you've just held serve. That's all you've done. Yeah. I feel that. I get it.
I think the Bears need this more than we need it, to be honest with you. Especially when you look at – I think we need this badly because, look, we want to make a statement, and especially in the snow, at Lambeau. Like, there's so many things, right? There's so many levels to this. Where we are in the division right now, where – Yeah, I mean, it's
that's
just
the thing. It's like your pathway to the number one seed starts this Sunday. Like, if you can take control of your destiny and just win these games, and it's going to be tough. I ain't saying it's going to be easy, but just win these games, and you're marching right to the number one seed. You know, and if you beat Chicago twice in the process, that takes the division. Forget whatever the hell happens down in Minnesota later. You know, it's like, hell, Malik Willis could start that game.
Well, and it's crazy too, because you know? I saw a stat that showed that. I saw a stat that showed that we have the second hardest, but hardest teams you have
the
to
winning
play.
Percentage.
Yeah, we have the second hardest, and you know who's the first? The Bears. So
this is what happens when you have the easiest part of your schedule early. Although, look, the Packers had easy parts of their schedule and farted those away. You know all of that is precursor. But now it's like it's not quite playoff time, obviously, but these are playoff type games. They matter more and more each and every week.
Yeah. Well, especially in December. I also think last thing I want to say to that is Theo Ash has me all hopeful, because I saw this TikTok that he had.
God bless
and
Theo.
He was like, and he was throwing out like stats. I don't even know what they are. Like, there's some stats I still don't understand. I hate DVOA. Whatever. I don't know. Whatever. I'm never going to get into DVOA. And there's a bunch of PFF ones where I'm just like, no, go away. But it was crazy. He was pulling out all these stats, and it was basically showing how, like, on paper, right? Bears are like, and you can kind of, he didn't say this, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I'm just, as a PFF hater, I'm just going to say, the Bears are the most fraudulent regular season
9-3
number one seed
right
in 2025. Okay, let's be real. Okay,
not unlike the they accused the Packers of being back in 2019. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, when we were the most fraudulent third round third seed team? Yeah, we were the most fraudulent 13-3. That's right. That's right. Yeah, we were the most. That's what it was. 13-3. But yeah, the Bears. Yeah. The Bears are about. I'm getting more confidence every hour.
Every but, Theo Ash TikTok is giving you more.
Every
confidence.
Theo Ash TikTok is giving me feelings where it's like, okay, you're telling me the Packers have a 10 on a stat I don't know, and the Bears have a -2. Okay, you're telling me the Packers have a 45 of a stat I've never heard of, and the Bears have a 4? Oh, yes.
I'm
living for it. I'm living for it.
Well, it is funny you say that, Corey, because so much of this kind of narrative, and I talked a little bit about this with Andy earlier this week, but so much of the narrative already in around this game is about the Bears' offense against the Packers' defense. And I get it's Ben Johnson. They go into Philadelphia. They run all over them. Big victory for the Bears. So much has been about the Bears' offense, which I totally get. Caleb Williams, pretty erratic, etc. Like, but the running game's really doing work. But what so few people seem to want to talk about, for whatever reason, is the Packers' offense against the Bears' defense. The Bears' defense is living off takeaways. That's it.
Yep.
Like, takeaways are their calling card, for good reason. They've been excellent. They've produced them. No question about it. But, man, you want to talk about – I don't even need advanced metrics. Their total defense is 27th. They're allowing 359 yards per game. Their yards per play is 30th with 6.3 yards per play. Points per game allowed 28th, allowing 27.4 points per game. Like, the Packers will move the ball. The Packers will score. The question is, can they hold on to the ball? Can they keep the ball away from the Bears? Can they stop and not allow turnovers? Because if they do, they're going to win the game.
Well, and
but no one's
and
you talking make, about that.
Exactly. Well, and if, like, you're a takeaway king and you can't take the ball away, we've seen that with the Packers defense historically, right?
Yep.
We went from before Thanksgiving having a, after the Vikings game, a 0.9% interception rate. And now we have a 0.8% interception rate. Jordan Love has thrown 3 interceptions this season, and I will tell you right now, 2 of those were some bullshit, and the wide receiver should have went for him. Okay?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, one I blame on Romeo Dobbs, and probably one I blame on Wicks.
Oh,
and those 2 happen to have the lowest pass rate catch percentage in our team.
Speaking of Jordan Love, one Jordan Love has been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Congratulations, Jordan Love, for his performance against the Lions on Thanksgiving. 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 200-plus yards. I mean, just a great day at the office. Great to see him recognized. And finally, a little point of order here, Corey, because I know our audience is – probably aware, but maybe not. The Week 16 game, that's in 2 weeks, against these Bears, has been scheduled for prime time. That's 7:20 local time, 7:20 Lambeau time. Prime time. There's two games on that Saturday afternoon evening. The Packers-Bears game will be the second game. It will be in prime time. So adjust your calendars. Adjust your tailgates. I believe that's Saturday, December 20th at 7:20 p.m. Be ready, because we'll be here doing watch party. Can't wait. Very excited, Corey. Very excited. We should go to Chicago. We should go to Will's Northwoods. We should do like a event the Saturday before, or the Friday before that game. That's what we should do. Go do some Carry the G pumping up there at Will's Northwoods that Friday. Just like old school. Remember when we went to Chicago for the NFC? Yeah, maybe. If they'll let us. That'd be fun. Just like back in the day. Remember when we went to Chicago for the NFC Championship game? We went to Will's Northwoods the night before the game. That was awesome. That was good stuff.
That was, I think that was the first time you ever got credentialed by the NFL, right?
For a game,
maybe it was a Giants game. For a game, yeah. For a playoff game, for sure.
Playoff game, yeah. Yeah. No, the Giants regular season game was the first one.
Yeah, you had gotten the Giants. That's right, that's right, that's right.
All right, let's talk about the offense. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That was 100 years ago, no doubt. The first thing I ever got credentialed for was the Combine. That was the very first thing.
Right, yeah. That doesn't count, though. Any fucking idiot can get credentialed to the Combine.
Well, now they can. That's for damn sure. I'll tell you that. Jesus.
That's like getting credentialed for
people out here. Jesus.
Yeah, that's like getting credentialed for the media day at the Super Bowl. It's like any loser with the – I've got 10 followers. Come on in. I don't even talk about football. I just talk about peanuts. Come on in.
You know what I just found in my pocket here? This is great.
Oh, dear.
These are the VIP wristbands from our meetup there in Green Bay a couple weeks ago. You got one of these bad boys? No, I don't think so. But hey, maybe.
You got free drinks.
I'm going to try it.
You got to
free drinks on Cheesehead TV.
You got to come into the VIP area at the Legacy Hotel. It was pretty. It was pretty baller.
VIP area.
We didn't get a bouncer, but it was me.
It was Corey, essentially. I'm going to try this. Next time I'm in town, I'm just going to wear one of these to the Legacy, the Cardinals crest there, and see if I can get some free drinks. Are they still good? I don't know. Probably not. offense, turn into tempo. Corey Banky, you and I have talked about this, and you know we haven't been alone as far as trying to mix things up on the offensive side of the ball, especially after the Eagles game. It felt like things were really kind of stagnant. I really, really like what the Packers have done as far as, and it's not up tempo, it's not 2 minute, it's not necessarily going quick all the time. Can't do it for a whole game, obviously. But they have intermittently, like here and there, gotten in drives. Even sometimes in the middle of drives, they've somewhat eschewed the huddle and just gotten up to the line of scrimmage and run a play, right? Or had Jordan look at the defense and then call something and then go about their business. And then they've, you know, gone back to their traditional huddle, shuttling guys in and out, and then suddenly gotten back to tempo. I absolutely love this, and I think it's really helped keep defenses off balance. And I think it's one of the things that, you know, we were talking about earlier this year when the offense was so stagnant and seemingly stuck in the mud. I think this has really helped Jordan in particular. I think it like gives him control, gives him a little bit more kind of ownership of everything that's going on. And he seems to have responded to it well. And it seems like the offense as a whole has really responded to it. I like it. It's not a huge thing, but it's noticeable. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. It's like we've definitely ticked. It seems like we're going more tempo. Like you said, it's like in areas, but overall, you know, we probably had the most tempo really like 3 or 4 weeks ago, 4 to 5 weeks ago, but we are ticking up. It's just interesting how they kind of use it in, they don't really use it as a strategy. They use it more as a tactic.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just like the idea of not having every single time, and we saw this play out even in this last game, going down to 2-1 second on the play clock, snapping the ball, defense knowing it's coming so they can tee off on you. There have been a couple times, funnily enough, both in the first half against Detroit and against Minnesota, where, you know, they got done, whatever the play was, they got done, they get back to the line, and this let Jordan call another play. Again, I just think it's a nice kind of curveball to throw at defenses and keep them honest, so to speak, and let Jordan call some stuff at the line and not take that play clock down all the way to the nub because, man, again, it's still happening, and it feels like they're playing with fire sometimes when they get to that.
Yeah, that's true, especially because they can't hold up on pass protection. So if it's a pass play,
that's a problem. That's a major problem. There's problems happening. But, hey, speaking of pass protection and holding up and getting more guys on the field, bringing Jumbo back, baby. I'll tell you what, it sucks to high heaven that Tucker Kraft is done for the year. But I tell you what, it feels like using Darian Kennard as their extra lineman has kind of been their plan B, so to speak, or the thing they've turned to in lieu of the fact that they don't have Tucker Kraft. They don't have that blocking presence anymore at tight end. So they're utilizing Kennard as that sixth offensive lineman. That has worked. That has worked well. And it's not just in the running game. They've thrown out of that formation plenty of times, and it's been successful. He's been successful. And I'm not ready to sit here and tell you he's Kevin Berry 2.0 quite yet.
No.
But, man, there's some shades there. There's some shades of they get that guy on the field. It doesn't matter that if the opponent knows they're running the ball. They're still pretty successful when they run, especially to that right side where they've got Kennard, Tom, and Belton. They're making some hay. Like, there's something there. They're cooking with some gas when they bring Kennard into the offense.
It's insane to think against the Vikings, they were doing that every three plays. They were running Jumbo. And against against the Lions, they were still doing it every four. So they didn't go down that much, and they're mixing it up with the double tight end stack. So that's kind of interesting. Yep. Instead of, you know, and that's, I mean, not that we really want, I've already forgotten his name.
Your boy, Luke Musgrave. Luke Musgrave had a nice 20-plus yard catch.
Is he the worst blocker on our team? Is he the worst blocker?
Well, he's not a good blocker. Let's say.
I think he's got to be the worst blocker.
But he's working on it, Corey.
Okay, maybe McManus is worse than him as a blocker. Maybe. Maybe.
Wow, you found something.
Is he working on it, though? The good thing he worked on is not tripping over himself. I appreciated that. You know, everybody's like, oh, well, nice I'm off the scene. That's what he does. I'm like, okay, well, he caught it, and he didn't trip over himself. So that's progress.
Big gain on the corner out. It was nice. It was great.
It's just
an amazing throw by Jordan, too, by the way.
God, amazing throw. It's so weird to me why he's part of – it's so weird to me how he ended up on our offense. I'm just still confused by it. I'm like, we don't run this offense, bro. Like, why is he on this team? He doesn't.
Although,
like,
I will say
this
look,
last night. Wait, like, wait, he gives wait, you now, no. He's not really made for this offense. I'm sorry. He's not.
He's not. However, all players have value, and we started to see a little bit of that in Detroit. I will say this, though. Don't ever forget, Tucker Kraft was terrible when it came to blocking his first kind of 3 months in the league, maybe months, like that summer into the first kind of half of his rookie year. He was on the field a lot and got to do it a lot. And you would hope Musgrave would get better with more opportunities. Now that doesn't seem to have occurred, but I'm still holding out hope that the guy can at least become serviceable in that department to keep things kind of even keeled on offense, right? Like you're saying, you don't want a guy who's only ability is to do something downfield, because then every time he's out there, you know that's the only thing you have to worry about. It's you know, it's unfortunate that he's not better at it, but I will say again, there's still a way to utilize him in this offense, and you just started to see just the glimpse, what you always lovingly refer to as green shoots. You saw some green shoots with Musgrave in this past
game. No, I mean, I like this idea of like, oh, he's the specialist, you can just, but it's like, the problem with specialists.
How many
in the
times
NFL,
can you use that? Yeah, right.
Yeah, it doesn't really help your offense in the sense of like, it just doesn't, especially for this team that's a run first, run heavy team.
And that's the trick, right? Because they do lead with the run game. Everything they want to do in the passing game somewhat works off the run game. So if you're a tight end in particular, you better offer something in the run game, or you're really kind of hampering the ability to put you out on the field. And I think we saw that in the second half of the Giants game, right? Where he barely played, if at all.
Yep.
And then Matt's asked about it, and he's like, well, you know, it's just how it worked out. Probably because in the heat of the moment, you know, you got John Dunn saying, well, I need guys who can block, you know? And like, he just keeps running out Wiley and Fitzpatrick, and Musgrave just doesn't enter his mind because he's like, oh, I need blocking.
I still think that, and I'm just completely speculating here, but I do think that Matt has held Okay, there's two thoughts here, and for a while I was like, and this is on motion. So the one school of thought is, oh, we keep losing wide receivers. You know, we lost Watson early. You know, Reed, blah blah blah. Right. Blah. Okay, we can't do motion because we're too young, right? Okay, I get that. That's a good argument. But there's another argument that I'm gonna talk about right now. So I think Matt has just been whole. He has taken this Ben Johnson thing personally, okay? Because Ben Johnson made it personal, all right? Ben Johnson didn't say, we have to beat the Packers.
Yeah. Nope,
he said, I have to beat Matt LaFleur. Okay.
I've enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year in Detroit. So that's what he said.
I think that Matt has, I mean, you can look at this. We ran a motion like 30% to 49% pretty consistently first 4 weeks of the season into like the sixth week. The last 2 weeks, we've been under 30% on motion. With the Vikings game, we didn't even, it was like one out of five times we motioned. Yeah. It didn't even look like motion hardly at all as the Packers in a typical Matt LaFleur offense. I think we might have the highest motion rate coming into
the Bears
this game. Yeah, because like, I just, to your point about their defense is bad, if they don't have the tape on our motion and we start just confusing the shit out of them, we're just going to run all, it's going to be ridiculous. I think it's going to be great.
I
like
it.
A lot of motion.
I love this idea.
A lot of motion.
I'm happy to be part of it. I will sign up for this newsletter. I'm all in. I'm all in on this idea. The other thing I'm going to be fascinating to see, you talk about like a lack of motion in these last two games. One thing that we did see a lot of in that game against Detroit was Matt LaFleur going for it on fourth down. My question is, will the fourth down aggression stand, man? Like, does he continue to do this, especially this week against Ben Johnson?
I think he's got it in his blood. I think he's got it in his blood right now. I think and we talked about this a little bit last
night. This one, to
your
point, is a little more personal. I think.
Well, I also think Dan Campbell, he's so sick of fucking losing to Dan Campbell on fourth down. He took Dan Campbell's play calling, and we said this at the Carolina. Carolina did this to us. Mm-hmm. We were in the second quarter of that game, and we were like, Matt, they're playing four downs, bro.
They're playing four downs.
Every single possession is about four downs. Yeah, like it's not a normal football game. It's third and six. Nope. They're gonna go for four. Like it doesn't matter. And now we've played a couple teams like that, and the Lions, you know, being the classic of all the teams. And look, it kind of goes with the new stats and how I saw this TikTok with Greg Olson talking about how back in the day, if a team was up by 14 and then you scored a touchdown and you went for two back in the day, people would like look at you like your face was like
crazy,
on fire.
Right?
Like how crazy are you? And nowadays, it's just the thing you do. And I think the more – what's funny about data is the more you see the data and then you go, oh, the more you see how successful you are on fourth down, the more you're going to try to push your luck on fourth down. I mean, they kind of go hand in hand.
The old kind of adage that I know people are probably sick of hearing, but manageable. If it's manageable, if it's fourth and three, two, one, you got a decent shot of converting, right? Now, Matt's going for it on fourth and nine, fourth and 12. And those are a little bit out there, right? Like, I don't need that. But I do love the idea of, to your point, Corey, playing four downs. And I do think this is a game where the Packers can play four downs. They can have one of those games where keep Daniel Whelan on the sideline, man. You know, where if it's fourth and you're near the 50, let's go for it. Like, I think that will be the plan going in, but we'll see.
I'd really like to see Whelan play better, though, too. Like, can we just get one punt on the 5 yard line or the three? Can we just get one? Like, if you're 60 yards back, can you just try to not get a touchback? Can you just try?
They've done plenty of that. You're just mad.
Not enough.
You're just mad.
No. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. When a punter gets a touchback, it's unacceptable.
Your raging against specialists is unacceptable, is what it is. Daniel Whelan's been excellent this year. Now, I will say this, Corey. I am very interested to see how it looks on Sunday in the cold, because that's a whole other world. It's great to hit a 70-yarder in the dome. What does it look like when that rock is hitting your foot and it's cold as hell?
You know, the difference this season is you can put the rock in a heater. You know, you can do whatever you want to the rock nowadays. You don't have. There's probably someone who just goes like this with the ball, like they just hold the ball and they're in front of the heater. And they're like, they birthed the ball to the punter or the kicker. The they're like, here you go. I warmed it up for you.
I don't ever want to see that person. I want to go for it on fourth down. The only way they punt in this game is if they're fourth and long on their own end, and then they're going to punt. But other than that,
I'll be happy once the NFL outlaws specialists. I'll be happy.
Let's talk about the defense.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, by the way.
Let's talk about Evan Williams being an absolute madman. Evan Williams has been outstanding, man. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, him and Javon Bullard both taking like that second-year jump. But, man, I'm telling you, Evan Williams – he is becoming one of the best young defensive players in the league. And I don't say that lightly. The way he is not only working in tandem with Xavier McKinney, the way they kind of mess with quarterbacks both pre and post snap, but the way Williams triggers on some of these run calls where they show a too high safety look and the quarterback cans or audibles into a run play because they think, oh, I've got a light box. I've got a high, too high shell. And then Williams is sprinting at the snap of the ball down into the box, sometimes even completely untouched and just blowing up running backs. He did it to Jahmyr Gibbs this past week.
Yeah.
Did it a couple weeks ago to Aaron Jones. Like, his timing has been incredible. And even if he is touched, even if he is blocked, he's creating havoc at the point of attack and making it incredibly difficult for these running backs to get on track. Now, I do wonder, man, that's been on tape now for a couple weeks, and I got to think at some point someone's going to try and test him on that, right? Like try and some kind of play action into the void that he's left by crashing, etc. But I'm telling you right now, these last two, three games, he has been absolutely outstanding. Had to call him out because, like I said, one of the best young defensive players in the league at the moment. He is so good. So good.
Well, and I wonder how much of that is taking advantage of our line and taking advantage of the fact that, you know, offenses have to kind of deal with the fact that
we got three guys worried about Micah Parsons, right? I don't doubt that.
I do think there's some of that, and I bet Halfley switches it up a little bit because it does. At some point, they're going to know that it's coming, and
right.
You know, I just wonder with Caleb Williams being able to run, and you know, the Packers have been doing a good job in the last. Even last year, they did a much better job with running quarterbacks.
Containing running quarterbacks.
They did a much better job than they did the previous year. And I do think with Micah, it's a lot harder for running quarterbacks because he can run them down, and he will because of his motor.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm interested to see, you know, I'm interested to see how much Halfley disguises things, but also, you know, because Caleb Williams can 100% be confused at this point. And so I'm interested to see that happen, but you know.
Yeah, I love the idea too of you could there was a play in Detroit where they dropped it was the first third down, one of the early third downs against the Lions where they dropped Micah Parsons. And you could tell the line was like ready to block Micah Parsons. They were all geared up for it. And then he drops into coverage and Isaiah McDuffie and Xavier McKinney are hitting the quarterback scot free because no one's accounted for them because everyone's been worried about Micah Parsons. So I don't think it's not that easy down in and down out, but that's the kind of thing where, to your point, Corey, I love the idea of possibly even Edgerrin Cooper, right, being a spy on Williams on certain down and distances or certain kind of moments of the game. It's not something you do every single down, obviously, but there are so many different ways that I think they could really get after the passing game of the Chicago Bears. It's all about being able to contain the running game without question. And one guy who can help them do that, if he continues to stay out there, is Isaiah McDuffie, who has really, really risen to the challenge, man. I got to admit, man, I was, you know, pleasantly surprised with his play against the Vikings, but I thought, okay, we're going to Detroit. I'm not saying he was going to get exposed, but I thought he might struggle, especially in space against some of this speed that Detroit has. He was excellent. He was excellent against the Lions. And it wasn't perfect, but nothing is. He was excellent. Wearing like the green dot middle of the defense, like calling the signals and absolutely just taking, flipping his hips and taking guys in coverage, getting off blocks and making stops in the run game. He was excellent. Who is this dude? Like, I know Isaiah McDuffie. That is not Isaiah McDuffie. Like, he was that. I was so good. So shout out to Isaiah McDuffie. Keep proving me wrong because just outstanding work. Outstanding.
I mean, clearly. clearly Jeff Hafley knows something about Isaiah McDuffie that no one else
truly
knew, and
right,
he's proving it out there on the field.
Absolutely. I mean, just a great game. Great game. Here's hoping he keeps it up. Even if Quay comes back, got to think there are going to be some three linebacker things that he'll be involved in, and hopefully he can continue to ball out. And, you know, we did mention the run games. Just the whole game, it's a big test for the young defensive tackles without Devontae Wyatt. I know they brought Riley in, but who knows if he's ready for game day, this quick turnaround, what have you. Man, the guys like Carl Brooks is back at practice today, which is great to see.
Yep. Yeah,
Colby Wooden's going to have to continue to keep playing at a high level against the run. You know, got to think Warren Brinson's going to see more time, the rookie. Maybe Sorrell gets involved a little bit. I know he's more of an edge guy, but maybe he gets involved a little bit. But this is I mean, the way the Bears ran through the Philadelphia Eagles and their excellent front. I mean, the Eagles have an all-time great defensive front.
Yeah.
The Bears toyed with them. The Bears dominated them up front. So this is a big test, man. Big test for
I agree, and I think the test is really going to be in the first half, because this Packers offense is it's not on fire, but it's heating up. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
And the thing is, I said this, and I know we're on defense right now, but I said this last night at the Patreon happy hour. The Packers have shown 4 or 5, like, you look at the concepts they're running. I don't know shit about concepts, but I know enough about what they've been running as far as personnel groupings and other things. They've run 3 or 4 different kinds of offenses, and the Bears actually are going to have to figure out which one they are deciding. Now, some of that is, hey, Tucker Kraft went out. We switched personnel groupings.
Gotta pivot, you know, right.
We did. Yep. We did some pivots based on personnel, 100%. But some of that is just who Matt decided he wanted to play that day, or who what he thought would do best against
what he wanted to feature, what he thought would take advantage of the defense best. Yes.
This 100%. Offense doesn't have a thing. This offense has 6 or 7 things it can hang its hat on any given Sunday. And that's what I love about it. It's like, oh, Romeo Doubs is dropping balls. Okay, Christian Watson is back. Oh, Christian Watson is heating. Oh, Josh Jacobs is out. Oh, Emmanuel Wilson. It's like, if we get up on the Bears, game is gonna it's gonna be nice. I'm hoping for that game.
I
want
agree.
The 2 touchdowns. Okay, Bears, run it. Get Topper.
Yeah, right.
Have Topper.
Yep.
You can have the caramelized onions, but you ain't getting no ribeye. you ain't getting no prime rib. We got the prime rib. You're just gonna get some fucking blue cheese and some shrimp scampi, and you're gonna like it.
And you're gonna call it a night. That's gonna be it. I like it. You can get all sorts of content around this game, around everything Green and Gold, in our weekly newsletter, the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. There is a link in the description of this video for you to sign up. Please do so. And if you're a diehard member, sign up for the diehard edition. You can get weekly preview videos. This week, Andy, Herman, and I are breaking down the Packers-Bears showdown. Tons of other great content twice a week during the season. Like I said, sign up right now. Cheesehead TV Nation, the newsletter goes out tomorrow morning. That will be in your inbox if you sign up tonight. All right, Corey, you ready? This nonsense?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series brought to you by Luigi's Pizza, budget-friendly, quick-baked pizzas that deliver on flavor without breaking the bank. Perfect for students, families, and everyday pizza lovers, a smart choice for real life, affordable, satisfying, and made with quality ingredients that fit your busy day. No fluff, no regret, no breaking the bank. Fancy name, smart price. And while you're at it, grab some of Luigi's gourmet cheese fries. I know you're going to do that, Corey. You're a big cheese fries guy. Yep. I know it.
I saw Andy Herman had this picture of like a bunch of Luigi's. I need to outdo him on that.
Oh, so good. So good. When I was in Wisconsin, my dad and I were going to town on some Luigi's. So good. Highly recommended. Pick it up, people. All right. Blogosphere. Let's go. Okay, this first bit here is a TikTok from a guy who does, I believe his handle is Film Watchers. It's a little lengthy. But I think it's so excellent, and the way he does this in such a relatively short amount of time, and the amount of information in here is absolutely incredible. Let's take a look.
Matt LaFleur's play calling was the number one reason the Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving, and it's because the Lions run man coverage just about more than any other team in the NFL, and they love it on these goal-to-go situations. Such as last week, you see the Giants, they come out in this bunch right look. Lions just show man coverage. You got one DB on each receiver, and it's just man coverage. You see it here. It's an incomplete pass. Jameis Winston does what Jameis does. He looks around for a receiver. He doesn't find anything. But you also see last week that they come out again in these goal-to-go situations with man coverage, but they love to run a banjo scheme. So that means, for example, like when this tight end, he releases to the inside, this outside DB is just going to let him go even though he initially aligned to the outside, because you want the inside DB to take the inside tight end, and then you want the outside DB to take whoever releases to the outside. And you see here, they get some kind of miscommunication. Jameis Winston doesn't see it, but you had a tight end wide open for a touchdown. So given those principles, the Packers have a really good plan to attack it. So on their first goal-to-go situation, the Packers decide to attack that banjo scheme like they saw was vulnerable last week. So you come out in this bunch left look, very similar look to what the Lions responded to with man coverage. So of course you get those same man principles, but they also have the same banjo principles. So the way to attack it is you have this outside shade release from Christian Watson. That means the outside DB is going to end up manning up with him because he's releasing outside first. And then Romeo Doubs, he releases inside first. So that switches what DB is on each receiver, which is why then Romeo Doubs just immediately breaks outside, because now all of a sudden he's facing seriously inside shade man coverage, and it just works out perfectly because they switched on the receivers and then they attacked them switching on the receivers. But then later in the game, obviously the Lions are going to adjust that banjo scheme because the Packers know what's coming. So then the Packers just run a rub concept, which the banjo would attack, but then they completely switched it because they already attacked the banjo. So now they come out in another bunch left look that gets the Lions in their man coverage once again, but this time they're just locked on because they already got beat. So you see here, you just run two routes. These are going to kind of get in the way of this man defender on Dontavion Wicks, and then all of a sudden Wicks is out to the flat. That man defender had to get through all this traffic, and all of a sudden Wicks is wide open for another touchdown because they attacked the scheme perfectly the first time and then knew what the Lions would do to adjust and attacked it again.
This is why I don't ever want to hear about Matt LaFleur and play calling ever again. You know, I mean, that's high-level stuff. It's a great breakdown, but it's exactly why Matt and his staff are so good at what they do, right? And, I mean, shout-out to that creator. That is a ton of information in a, like
in
I said, relatively short amount
time.
Of time.
That was very compressed.
It's incredible. His whole channel is amazing. Like, he does great stuff, but I loved the highlighting of, look, this is what happened against the Giants last week. This is how they broke that down and took advantage of their own concepts and their own kind of adjustments to beat them twice. Like, I love it. That's just great. It's just great stuff. And then on the complete flip side, this is what I love about TikTok. You can have something like very high level like that, right? Football, really grinding the film. And then you get stuff like this. Let's take a look.
Oh, no, I ain't seen nothing. I ain't seen nothing. Matter of fact, I'm blind in my left eye and 43% blind in my right eye.
That's perfect. I mean, yes, exactly. 100%. Anybody watching that game can attest to that. Elsewhere, Corey, did you know your friends down there in Milwaukee were treated to a performance and a party for the release of Hugh Jackman's new film? I can't remember the name of it right now.
He's everywhere on my TikTok.
Well, he's here on Packer Transplants wearing a cheese head. Look at this man. Yeah, and he was quoted saying, "I can't believe it took me 57 years to wear a cheese on my head, and I may never take it off." Apparently, the story of the movie he's in is set in Milwaukee, and he was there for a premiere of this film and had a big party. And he was at Cops giving away custard, and he's wearing cheese heads. So, love it. Absolutely love it. Welcome to Wisconsin, Hugh. I hope you enjoyed your stay. He said it was the first time he's ever been in Milwaukee. Pretty great.
That's crazy.
Pretty great.
I mean, it's not. He's Australian, I guess. So it's like, hey, you know.
It's just wonderful.
Not that many Australians have been to Wisconsin. We need more.
No, truly. Okay, and then finally, I take this pause because I fully expect to have to exercise this bit from the YouTube because I suspect we'll probably get dinged. But I don't care because Tyler Herrick produced the best piece of Packers content off of that Lions game. And it's a damn shame that if we get through this thing and we don't give it, it's the love that it is due.
It's been stolen a lot of times already.
Of course.
I got greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes. You need greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, long, long, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, 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 beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, long, long, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, chicken, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes.
I mean, that is just that's just incredible. That's
outstanding. Yeah, there was this TikTok that had 1,000 likes, and I was like, you stole this from Cheesehead TV. So if anybody sees it on TikTok, please tag Cheesehead TV and tell TikTok. It's stupid. I hate it.
Truly. I mean, it's just like week one when you did the thing with Micah Parsons and the Planet Earth stuff, and then people stole that, you know? Tyler is one of one, and that is amazing. That is just such a great edit. I absolutely love it. Had to highlight it.
That's why when that one, I'm not going to say his name, but that one, this person put like the best TikTokers on the internet, and I was like,
didn't include Tyler.
How do you have Cheesehead TV and not have Cheesehead TV? And I wasn't even saying it for you and I, because you and I suck on there.
Of course.
I was like,
Tyler's the goat.
What? Look, if you don't have us number one or number two, you don't even know what you're talking about. Like, get out of here.
The goat. The true goat.
Oh, people. These kids these days. Right. I tell you what.
We got a bunch of new Carry the G Club members, by the way. We got like three out of the gate.
Shout
today.
Them out.
We got Panic Button. Thank you for joining the Carry the G Club. Stanley Williams. And allegedly 63, all new members of the Carry the G Club. We really appreciate the support.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks so much.
E4K Town, Pack wins, and Friday is a beautiful sunshine day in Chicago. Bears win, and the next day we get 10 inches of snow. Just saying.
There you go.
Thanks for Super Chat. Aaron Harper Jr., go Pack go. I like it. I like it.
I like where your head's at. Go Pack go.
Joe Mailman. Today is 10th anniversary of Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary to beat the Lions. Not the most important pass of his career, but maybe the most perfect.
It was a beautiful moment. It was a gorgeous moment. Here's what I remember about that play is I was all alone in my living room, and everyone else in the house was asleep, and I laughed so hard, and I made a vine of myself laughing because I was laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. It was such a great moment. Perfect moment.
Vine was around 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah. You bet.
Really?
Best believe it. Yeah, of course.
You know, anytime I think about the Detroit Lions Hail Mary, I think about being in Arizona and how he had, like, basically two Hail Marys in a
row. Two Hail Marys? One on, like, 4th and 20?
And then, like, no
business. Most
people
forget that. The first one coming out of his end zone is, like, 4th and 20.
Yeah, I'm in the
shot.
And
he completes it to Janus.
I'm in the shot.
Like, what?
It's nice. It's really nice. But then, like, it's just one of those things where, like, why complimentary football matters? Because then literally, our defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, FMCH 644, can't wait for these Bears to find out how physical our defense is. Also can't wait for Bears Twitter to implode. They're so convinced they'll win.
Oh, yes, that last part. For
I mean, here's the thing.
Honest
here's
and
the thing.
For
here's
true.
The thing. I'm gonna be honest with you, okay? If this was 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And the Packers had found themselves number one in the NFC.
Yes.
I know this is crazy, okay? But in 1986, okay?
But I get where you're going, yeah.
I'm 10 years old, okay? And I'm on Twitter.
Yep.
There's a lot of hypotheticals here. But
yes, right.
I would be as annoying as every Bears fan is being right now.
Yeah,
because
of course.
I would know in my
heart
of hearts.
You've never felt this before.
Yeah, and I also would know in my heart of hearts that I might get this moment, and this moment might be gone tomorrow.
There's a real good chance it's a fleeting moment, right? Yeah,
so,
very good chance.
And it does feel that way because it's like it feels like Bears fans are just seizing that. Because then you have – what's funny to me is you have like Bears Twitter that's like, okay, we're going to seize the moment, hyperbole, we're fans, we're going to do this thing. Yeah. And then you have people like Big Cat who are like, yeah, I'm going to wait.
He's a seasoned vet. He knows.
He's like,
he knows. He can't get into this too early.
He's like,
yeah,
we're playing the Packers at Lambeau in the 10 degrees. He's like,
let me just wait on this.
Let's just hold up 2 seconds.
We got two other Care of the G Club members with comments here. We got Marshall Duke saying, I know teams really don't take many big shots down the field with the type of defense we play, but Xavier McKinney is due for a few picks. Go Pack, go. Could not agree more. It is time for him to make some noise in that secondary, no doubt about it. And then Neil Flynn 9, a member for 1 month, thank you so much for the support, says, win or lose, the Bears will be running their mouths on Monday. That's probably true. That's the other component here. Like, you're probably not wrong. Like, lose and there'll be all sorts of excuses. Like, I know on their injury report today, their running back and their receiver are hurt. And, I mean, it's not – because, of course, the Packers are a picture of health. But, yeah, they'll be talking either way. You're right. That's very true.
Yeah. Adam Rice, 7633, wanted to give some huge props to not just Matt, but the tight end and running back coaches as well. If we can complain about coaching, we can praise it too. Thanks.
Amen to that. Especially Ben Searmans, man. Ben Searmans has been on Matt's staff. He's the one offensive staff member who's been there since Matt's first year. And he's done great work. I mean, look at Emmanuel Wilson. Look how he's come along as a player. Like, Josh Jacobs, Chris Brooks, all these guys play at such a high level. Like, yeah, shout out Searmans, definitely.
Potential ender. The videos of fans chanting the Bears still suck throughout Lambeau after the win is going to hit like crack. Let's fucking go, Pack, go.
There you go. I like where your headset.
Super chat.
I'm liking it.
Jeff Jones, I transplanted to Hawaii because of that weather.
You're not alone, sir. You're not alone. A lot of snowbirds in Hawaii, Arizona. They're all out there.
I'm here, people. I'm here.
Corey's sticking through it, though. Corey's there.
I love it. I love it. There's definitely times when I'm like a little baby about it, but I never complain about it. Like, it's more like I don't hate it. I actually love it. I love the seasons. But there's I mean, look, no human being should really have to endure 10 degrees. Not really. Not really. Not
well, that's why we've made all these advances in life. Like, you can have heated homes and cars with heat.
But I mean, I'm just telling you right now, here's the funny thing. I have a heated steering wheel. I have heated seats. Mm-hmm. I start my car early.
Yep.
There's still a moment when you leave the garage and you get into your car.
Right.
You feel it. Oh, you feel it.
Yeah. Oh, you feel
it.
No doubt about it.
And in Green Bay, if you're going to something, if you're going to an event and you got to park like far away, boy. Like last night, we got out of the concert like so late.
It's hitting your lungs as you walk. And
it's like 9 degrees and we're just like, yeah.
Isn't the life.
Dan McDermott, the winners count the points, the losers count first downs, time of possession. It's Bears week. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Are you calling me a loser, Dan?
Oh, no, not at all. Look, we have a few more Care of the G Club members. Dag steps in and says, if the Lakers get Giannis, it's about to be over. Love you guys. Go Pack, go. Is that table tennis? I'm not familiar with this league you speak of. And Mike Machetta says, thankful for watch party. Instead of having to hear my extended family, Bears fans, openly root against the Pack, I had you guys in my earbuds. Thanks. That's why we're here for you, brother. Watch party. Yeah, yep. Every single Packers game is what we do.
Hova Zach, thanks for Super Chat. Nags, just wanted to say, love the conversation on Carry the G Radio yesterday, especially the conversation on the snowblowers. Go Pack, go.
You know, here's the thing, though, Corey. I'm sure you can relate to this as either someone maybe who does this, but possibly, probably, potentially as someone in your neighborhood who does this. It seems like everywhere you go in Wisconsin, there is always someone, like very well-meaning, good-hearted person who will be up at the crack of dawn doing everybody's sidewalks. Like snow blowing after a
That's
big snowstorm.
It's not me.
Okay, I was pretty sure it wasn't.
It's
you,
okay
but
for you
sure.
to un- it's okay for you to assume that's not me. I mean, you know, let's be real. I'm the guy who's texting a
saying,
guy who's like, "Are you gonna do the snow? Because like, are we doing this? Like, I don't want to get a fine here. What are we? Are
and
we?
I also
is this happening?
I don't want to throw up my back shoveling if you're gonna come over later and snow blow it.
Here's like, what I do. I'm gonna be honest with you. Nice okay, thing. Here's what I do.
All
okay,
right. Right, what do you do?
I open the garage door.
Mm-hmm.
I look outside, and then between the two cars, I basically put some salt. Well, no, first I'll shovel that, like physically shovel, no snowblower, right?
Yep. Right.
And then I'll put salt down, and that's the end.
Get it. Well done. Hey, that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean, technically, you in Green Bay ordinance, you have to like do the sidewalk and do all that stuff.
You have to shovel your sidewalk, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a guy on our street. He used to be called the mayor. He has a lot of names, but he's basically the guy, and
who'll
he takes
snowblow
it like
all.
what I'm telling you, like, this isn't like, oh, I have a guy do it. It's the guy, no, if he doesn't do it, if you don't hire him to do it, he's, like, personally offended. Like, seriously. So, and he's not expensive. So it's like, why not, you know? I don't really like the cold that much. I like the fact that it's cold.
You like looking at the cold. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like looking at snow right now. I like it.
Right.
It's nice.
I get it. I feel you.
I don't really want to be in it, but it's nice.
Nope.
FMCH. I'll be at a sports bar watching the game with a good friend who's an ex-Bears wide receiver. Then when home, rewatching the game synced up with the watch party. Nice.
Well, there you go. I'm glad you got that all planned out. And tell your Bears wide receiver friend that the Bears still suck.
I saw this. Yeah, it just reminded me of I saw this New York Times article about the Jets wide receiver who became a cop, and it's such a really cool story. Highly recommend people checking it out. It's really cool. Neil Flynn 9, which division rival likes to run their mouths the most, Lions or Bears? It's a toss-up and pathetic. I feel like it's Vikings. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, except like now they suck, so they can't, right?
But if they're good, the Vikings are the worst team. Because the Lions, it's like they got a lot of debt. You know what I mean? They got a lot of debt. They were a good team. They were a good team like in 1965. They were good. You know what I mean? So it's like
no doubt.
The Vikings were never good. And so it's just like, oh, I don't know. They're stupid. The Vikings are a made-up team. The Vikings are like the Vikings are an expansion team. Like they're like the worst expansion team in the NFL. Oh, I hate them. Can we beat
them? They're plastic. That's all I know. Yeah, we do. Last game of the year. We'll get our chance. Nice. Can't wait.
Oh, my God. It's going to be nice. Chris Combs, 88. If Pack wide receivers catch the ball, we win. That's it. I
can't disagree with your thesis, Chris. I think you're onto something there.
I'll do you one better, okay, Chris? I'll do you one better. If Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks increase their pass catch rate percentage – by 4 percentage points, we will win. Mr. Englewood. Okay, I am a nerd. I'm just saying, because if they increase it, that means they didn't drop any. You know what I'm saying? That was like sarcasm.
Kind of like Dontavian Wicks did against Detroit.
Yeah, so keep doing it, because your pass catch rating sucks.
Keep catching the ball.
It's terrible. Catch the ball. Mr. Englewood. Don't you just love how Chicago even has a Packers bar in Lincoln Park where Nagler and I went to DePaul? There are no such accommodations in Wisconsin. Okay. So, just a little history.
Couple two tree things.
Unfortunately, there are. Now, there was this bar that was a couple that was on the east side that just closed, and it was called the Rivalry or some bullshit, whatever, and it closed.
So, I remember. So, yeah, I used to drive by there. Yeah. No.
But there is an old bar, and I fucking can't stand this bar, and it's called the Lorelei Inn. And it's where a lot of locals hang out for Friday. And unfortunately, the reason I hate this fucking bar, and anybody that goes to this bar, and I have friends that go to this bar, and they piss me off, including some people that I don't even want to say out loud because it still makes me mad. Because I looked them in the face, and I go, how can you sit in Green Bay, Wisconsin, granted, you're on the east side, okay, so let's be real, they're on the east side. So how can you sit at a bar and look at pictures of people, like, from Chicago and, like, Bears paraphernalia? It's so weird. It's like an Irish bar, but then it was made by Bears fans, and it's basically a Bears bar, but a ton of Green Bay locals go. And I'm just like, I hate that place. I hate it. I hate it. It's trash. It's trash. Don't like it. And honestly, it should get boycotted every Bears weekend, and the fact that it's not, I think that's a travesty. I really do.
Truly.
Like, yeah. Like, if I really told people how to fan, I would sit outside of that bar, and I would shame them.
You would have, like, flyers and, like, be, like, yeah, have a crew,
I would be, like, the Jesus preacher, but instead of Jesus, I would be, like, don't go to this bar. This bar is blasphemous.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You bring shame on your name.
Do not go.
In this
Whatever
bar.
You do, and I'm going to catch heat for this. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to catch heat for this in this town, but do not go to the Lorelei Inn. Or if you go, tell the bartender I sent you. Dustin Logan, thanks for Super Chat. The Bears still suck. Remarks complete. You did it.
Well stated. Well stated, sir.
Uncultured Barbarian. Favorite Bears Packers memory is watching the TV in the 80s and a gal who looked like a kindly grandma was wearing a Bears suck shirt while yelling profanities at the field while holding a beer. That checks out.
It's good. Little has changed. Little has changed. I love it. That's outstanding. That was probably my grandma.
That lady would not go to the Lorelei Inn. Let me just tell you right now.
No, of course
she'd
not.
She'd walk into the Lorelei Inn. She'd see
she
one fucking
you,
picture
Corey,
of a Bears thing.
Would join
thing.
You
yeah.
outside the Lorelei Inn.
With a beer.
Yelling
yeah,
at patrons
yeah, we'd have a little cooler. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know this is owned by a Bears
You know what you're doing? You bring shame upon yourself.
100%. Oh. Rin for the win. Watching with my 10-month-old, trying to get her to say her first Bears still suck.
There you go.
Nice. Good luck with that.
Good luck.
Aware 1285. I'll Danny your wheeling for $1,000. Oh dear. Oh,
all right,
dear.
It's a deal.
Dennis. Corey, stay away from wheeling criticism. He is the second best punter in the NFL. Okay.
Ah, see.
Dennis.
Here we go.
Dennis.
Come on, Dennis.
We don't want second best. We're the Packers. Okay. Hate to tell you, Dennis, we're not going for two.
Here we go.
We're not going
You're
for second best.
With second best.
You're
Dennis.
Satisfied with that, Dennis? Really? Also, Dennis, I'm not asking God. For the moon. I'm asking, hey, when it's a long punt, can you just try not to get a touchback? Just try. Try one time. It's ridiculous.
He does ridiculous. Try. And he succeeds a lot.
Maybe do then. Maybe don't. Maybe nice. Yoda that shit. Yeah, Ralph Renucci, right. Our offense will be our best defense this week. 100%.
Yes, sir. Very much agreed.
Elijah Robb, I love my Packers. Glad they're becoming likable, too. They've always been likable.
They're always likable. When have they not
They've always
likeable?
Been likable. The thing that they're – the here's – you know where I think all the hate comes from on the Packers the last – like, I think there's a lot of – you know what? You know, here's – you know the toilet bowl guy? You brought him up. You saw
oh,
him on Twitter.
Course. Yes, 100%.
You, Aaron Rodgers take you to the toilet bowl. And Brett Favre take you to the Super Bowl.
Take you to the Super Bowl. Yep.
I think the new toilet bowl guys, they're on Twitter now. And so they're the thing we're seeing all the time. So, but it's like this whole, like, it's Rodgers, it's ex-Rodgers fanboys that can't get over it. And then it's just like this whole idea of, like, we have to project the image of the – you've admitted you're guilty of this, not as bad as and egregiously as I'm saying. We both are, right? We project the Packers we want versus the Packers that are.
That they are. Yeah, of course. Naturally. Absolutely. I mean, I try not to denigrate other people while doing so and their fandom, you know, unless they're being personally insulting. But
yeah,
the weird thing about that – comment though is like that's the fans. The Packers are getting likable. Like, when have the Packers not been likable? That's what I don't get that. Like, Jordan Love is one of the most likable dudes on earth, and he's been their quarterback now. This is his third year. Josh Jacobs is insanely likable. Like, Evan Williams is on a local program almost every Monday. He's likable as hell. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
Adrian
Cooper's giving toys away.
Adrian Cooper's giving toys away. You know, like, how are they not likable? I don't know. I'm a little confused by that one. I mean, maybe I'm misreading it. I don't know.
Ralph Renucci, hope LaFleur takes his shirt off if we win two times. Here's the thing.
Baby.
If Matt LaFleur, if Matt LaFleur took his shirt off, I think the internet would, like, I don't think it would be able to work for a couple minutes.
Yeah, it would melt down. That is for
it
sure.
would go
for a lot
way
of
more viral
reasons,
than
but yes.
That would go way more viral than Ben Johnson. I'm just telling you that.
Yes.
Now, okay.
100%
like,
correct.
Only football people know Ben Johnson took his shirt off. Everyone in the United States would know. Every female in the United States would know that happened. Okay?
Matt LaFleur has taken his shirt off. I'll tell you what, Olive would have that in my DMs, like, post-haste, like, instantly. Like, Olive is obsessed with Matt LaFleur.
Like, that would be as big as when Taylor Swift comes to see a Kansas City game. Like, it just would. It would. It'd be right up there. It'd be in the conversation.
You're probably not wrong. Probably not wrong.
Creep mode. When will we hear about Reed being activated? Yeah, I want to know that too.
Most likely Saturday if he's going to be. They have until next Thursday. But if he's going to be activated for this game, it would most likely happen Saturday afternoon prior to 4 p.m. Eastern.
Matt Swaim, 91. Thanks for Super Chat. 44-14 in the last 30 years versus Chicago. Go, Pack, go.
Let's fucking go. That's what I'm talking about. Now, it's not about the past, right? The past is not necessarily prologue. And they have a new coach. So they have a new quarterback. But, man, the Packers playing their best ball here, playing at home. I like the chances for a W on Sunday. Let's go.
Amy, I'd like to see Tyler's video edit of Matt taking his shirt off.
That's what we need. That's what the people demand.
That would do numbers.
That would do some numbers.
That would do the numbies for sure. Mike Witt, six. That would get takedowns. We get takedown notices. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. Absolutely. Cease and desist. We get the cease and desist, and I'd be like, no.
We didn't get Matt's permission to use his likeness. Some nonsense.
We must give the Matt LaFleur fans of the world the thing that they need. Mike Witt, 668. I'm just hoping Micah takes over his first ever Packers game Sunday.
Oh, let's go. I mean, it's all about getting them into passing situations. If they can do that, I think he will, but they got to do that, and that's a big if.
Well, they'll have to get in passing situations once the offense takes a lead of 21-0 in the first
half.
Well,
that's part of it, 100%. No question.
Which, I think, if we can do that, it will be very interesting. We will get to see Caleb Williams for the first time in a while. Truly see the kind of quarterback he can be.
Have to try and sling it around, yeah, no doubt.
Which maybe we don't want to see that, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you what, this is what I'm saying, dude. I'm not saying, like, these last, like, six games or so, when they've fallen behind in the fourth quarter, they've been down multiple scores, and they've won those games.
Yeah.
The Giants game. The Giants had that game won. They had won that game. And then Caleb Williams did some magic shit, man. He was so good at the end of that game. Like, I don't want anything to do with that, like, at all. That's why I'm saying, like, you talk about multiple scores. I'm talking, to your point, like, I want a 3-touchdown lead. Then I might get comfortable. But, like, 10 points? Caleb Williams has shown repeatedly that ain't nothing. He can overcome that. Like, you start letting him play, like, backyard ball, sling it around. Yes, he can be inaccurate, but he escapes pretty much everything in the pocket and then makes shit happen outside the pocket. I don't want anything to do with that at all.
Aware, 1285, 4th and 8 from the 48. Never forget.
Trying not to, kid.
RTX Nikki, do you think Love ever wins an MVP in his career? Yes, 100%.
Yes, I absolutely do.
I'm with the people that go, if you look at the trajectory of the timeline and how MVP, look, awards are bullshit, right? They just are. They're really just marketing, and we know this, right? And if you look at Oscars, whatever you want to look at, they're complete marketing driven. And I say that because had he come out of, he had the Dallas game, had he come out last season looking like he did in the playoffs against Dallas, even if he would have had the season he had, if he would have come out looking like that and dominating in a few games, I think he would have been more in the conversation than he has been. I think that, but the other thing about Jordan that I think is honestly more incredible than winning an MVP is he's the same fucking guy he's always been. He's the coolest guy. And that's what you want long-term. You want Berkshire Hathaway stock. You know what I mean? It's just like, seriously, it's like, every year we're going to make 10%. We're just going to keep compounding interest until we're fucking billionaires.
And I'm glad you brought up the fact of coming off of the Dallas game, right? And even in the San Francisco game, I thought he played well, obviously, as the bad interception at the end of it. But if he comes out in 2023, the problem is he gets hurt in week one in 2024, right? And then he's dealing with injuries the majority of last season. And everyone's talking about, oh, he didn't take that next step. Oh, he didn't take that step. Guess what? He took that step this year, and no one's talking about it. He took the step everyone assumed he was going to take last year. He didn't because he was hurt. He's taken that step. He's thrown 3 interceptions. What was the big knock? Oh, he's careless with the football. Can't trust him. He's eradicated that narrative. He's been top 5 in any metric, advanced metric you want to name. He's been absolutely lights out, an assassin in clutch moments week after week after week. Yet no one talks about, oh, he's taken that step. He's entered the upper echelon of NFL quarterbacks. That never happens. It's, oh, he threw four touchdowns, and then he has a somewhat not quite as productive game. Now we're not talking about him anymore. It's crazy. Even though he's just as efficient, almost as productive, it never gets mentioned. He's taken that step that everyone expected him to take last year.
I think it's two things. I think the Packers fan base has not made the shift to Jordan fully. And when I say that, I'm talking about the mainstream. I'm not talking about the diehards like us.
Right.
I'm not talking about people who looked at him like a Rorschach test. I'm talking about there was a moment for Aaron Rodgers when this happened where it is clearly Jordan's team, but there was a moment for Aaron Rodgers where everybody got behind Aaron. Everybody. It was like mainstream. It's like, so I think that's one side. And then I think the other side is the national conversation around how good we were in the first 2 weeks and the drop off and kind of how we went, which is funny because if you look at anybody besides Skip Bayless's fucking show, like everyone is scared of this team. Like anyone who looks at the Green Bay Packers statistically is on paper and in real life, we are not the team anybody wants to play right now.
Nope. I very much agree with that.
Mike Witt, interesting discussion today at work. Better QB, Hurts or Love? I say Love because I've always Hurts is overrated. What say you guys?
I mean, Hurts is a really good quarterback. I think he's in a really broken offense, but as playing the position of quarterback, I'll take Jordan Love every single time. Every single time.
Mike Witt, could the DT we signed today be our Howard Green? Nice pull.
Everyone's hoping. I mean, he would absolutely be our Howard Green if he was on transplants right now, because never forget when Howard Green was signed, the next day he was on Packer transplants. True story. But we still have time to get him on. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. but as far as like his play on the field, I mean, he's a big run stopper, right? Hopefully he causes havoc in the Super Bowl and leads to a Evan Williams interception for a touchdown. That's where I'm at. Let's go.
Justin, 4616, Packers, Bears being moved to the first Saturday of the college football playoffs is so shameless from the NFL. Wouldn't watch if Pack weren't involved.
Yeah, but the Packers are involved, so you will watch. And guess what? So will the rest of the world. I had no idea the college playoffs were going on. True story. What are those? Man, NFL is king.
College.
It don't matter.
It's funny. It'll be Saturday, and like everyone around me will have college on, and I'm just like, I have no interest. I'd rather watch soccer, to be honest with you.
I'll take the odd game of college football here or there, but like, as far as like, oh, they're the playoffs. Well, if they're on in a bar or something, I'll watch it. I like football, but man, I could care less. Like.
Well, and also the thing about college football for me is, and again, I don't want to like nerd out, but it's kind of the same reason I don't watch MLB. We refused as a nation to pay these fucking kids who are doing a job for literally 50 years. And instead we spent all the money on fucking coaches and facilities. And now we have a fucking shitstorm and we're wondering why this product is trash.
Yep. It's certainly.
We wonder why we're paying. They're paying coaches that are going to get bonuses off of games. They're not even playing. They're not even coaching.
Correct.
The fucking world are we living in? What a fucking piece of trash product. What a trap. It's trash. Mike Witt, Charles Martin to be honorary captain Sunday. Go Pack, go.
God, no. No, absolutely not. Man, you talk about that is literally, people ask me, like, what's your lowest point as a Packers fan? It's never been a game, never been a loss. It's been that moment, the Charles Martin moment in Chicago where he slams Jim McMahon to the ground. I've never been more embarrassed to be a Packers fan in my life, ever.
Dan McDermott, normally I agree with analytics, but it's Bear Week. Just win, baby. Go Pack, go.
There you 100%. Go. There you go, Dan. Talking some sense out here.
Richard Harris, will Cobby the Bear Killer be in attendance? I doubt it.
I don't know. Doesn't he do some media stuff now? I don't know. That'd be great though. That would be amazing if he was like, you know, honorary captain or something. That would be absolutely incredible. And then they play the video of that kid in his basement going, "Oh my God, it's Randall Cobb again." Like, that would be perfect. That would be
that
so
would be
great.
Funny. Unfortunately, the Packers are not that creative, so
they're not. Hi. But we can dream.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. I don't see. I know the person that
see
would be 1265 responsible for that,
there?
And I don't see his imagination going past a jelly donut. Neil Flynn, you know your franchise sucks when kickers high on cocaine can score game-winning touchdowns against you. That's a tell.
Oh, Chester Markle, what a moment! What a moment! The fact that he like does a bump at halftime and then comes out and has that moment. I mean, just amazing. Just amazing. So great.
Porkmaster, ever realize that a friend isn't serious about football? I had a buddy ask me during the Giants game if we should just go with Willis. I got mad.
Well, that's your chance to educate some people. That's all that is. You don't have to get mad. You don't have to like disown them or become non-friends. But I understand the frustration in the moment, like during the game. That is frustrating. But it's a good opportunity to say, no, this is a silly suggestion, and here is why.
I mean, I think, yeah, I agree with everything Nagler said, but I think the worst fans, because this reminds, I think the worst fans are when you go to a game and there's like this, some dad behind you and he's just got to always say some stupid shit, like, just the dumbest shit, just the dumbest shit. And you're just like, you just want to slap him.
But you can't because it's a communal experience and they're allowed to have
their
feelings.
Well, no, you can't because I'm in my grandpa's season tickets.
And it's also assault. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to go to jail, number one. I don't want to lose my family season tickets, number two. But I really do want to slap them because they're annoying as fuck. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat. I've never slapped anybody except Nagler. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't even slapped
This is true.
Everyone talking about love and receivers, but I think Sunday might be a Josh Jacobs game. Just a gut feeling. I would love that.
I totally agree. And I think Love will be a beneficiary because they're going to be effective on the ground. But yeah, I agree. I think they're going to pound the rock. Very much agreed.
They're going to pound the rock in 6-6-1 and, or 6-1-1 and 6-1-2.
There you go, baby.
We have to make a song about it. The 6-1-2 is very interesting, especially 6-1-2 with Musgrave. It's like, what are you doing? Brandy, Golden should and can be that Cobb type that destroys the Bears' hopes and dreams this time of year.
Look at Brandy. I like where your head is at. He's missed a couple games, right?
Is Golden, he's probable or
he was limited today. He was limited. He was limited, and he's dealing with that wrist. And he looked good in warmups in Detroit. So hopefully he goes this week. That would be incredible. That would be so good to get him back.
That's it.
We got it. We good.
Well, in Corey's defense, slapping Negs is an assault. It's called tough love. The funny thing is the person who is the most likely to get slapped between Nagler and I is me.
Oh, my God. It's not even close. It is 100% you, dude. Come on now. We all know this.
Because I'll say some dumb shit.
That ain't controversial, dude.
I don't say the dumb...
wanted to slap me to slap you. Like, that
I don't...
Was,
I'm
that,
not...
You were definitely slapping
Well, see, here's the thing. In my defense, I'm not the guy that's... At least I'm not the guy at the game who's being annoying, okay?
No. Well,
but I'm annoying in other ways, but I'm not that annoying, that version of annoying. I'll take it.
Very true. Very true. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members here, Cheesehead TV. Everything we do, it all starts with our Patreon membership. Everybody who supports us via Patreon, we really cannot thank you enough. Love seeing each and every one of you at happy hour every week. Last night was amazing. Oh, we had a 2-hour happy hour last night. It was crazy. Marathon. We cannot thank you guys enough. Along with Care of the G Club members here on YouTube, you guys make watch parties a ton of fun. Thank you so much for the support. Corey, you got anything else before we head out into the night?
Let's Bears week, baby. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. That'll do it for this episode, Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everybody who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.